Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
So today, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, we are going to continue our hopeful series. And I love this series. How many of you have been enjoying this series? Yes. It's all about us learning how to live full in an empty world, full of hope in an empty world. And if you haven't heard the last 2 weeks, I encourage you, go back, listen to the podcast, watch it on YouTube. You will not regret it. Before I get into the heart of my message today, I want to know who I'm speaking to today. Can you guys help me with a little survey? Okay, good. Sure. Good. I like that. Sure. I want to know where all my patient people are. Come on. Okay, we got a few over here. Oh, my husband says he's patient. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay. All right. I like the section. Now, when I say patient, I mean you absolutely love going into Kroger during Thanksgiving week and waiting in those long lines. Where are you at? Are the hands still up? Okay, there's a few. I mean, I guess we can do it for Thanksgiving, right? It's important. But I'm not like you. I tried to get there at 6 a.m. one year, and I thought, this is my year. There's not going to be any lines. And guess what? Everybody had the same idea. Has anybody else ever done that? Have you ever thought about abandoning your shopping cart? Has anyone done it before? Where are my real rogues at? Okay, over here. All right, wow. I have honestly thought we're going to start a new tradition this year. It's going to be whatever you want to eat Thanksgiving. I know we got cereal that nobody's eaten. There's oatmeal in there. I'm serious, popcorn. We can make something out of it, can't we, Dale? We'll make it up. I just see those lines and all the hope just drains out of me. All right, where are my people who love to wait in drive-thrus? Not one. Oh, wait, no, did I have one over here? Okay, all right. But I'm talking about 35 minutes in Whataburger. Anybody, where are my Whataburger people at? God, don't you just love it when there's only like 3 cars ahead of you and then people start driving up beside you in that lane right there that shouldn't be there? Amen. And they came after you, but now they're getting their food before you? Do you want to lose your religion? Has anyone ever driven off after they've paid? No? Okay. People are like, I don't want nobody to know. Like, yes, it's me. I've thought about it. Because you get all this hope, right? I can taste my sweet and spicy bacon burger, no bun, come on, large fry, medium strawberry drink. I can taste it when I turn that corner. But after 35 minutes, I'm thinking this is not worth it. I will go home and make a fresh burger, a real burger, myself. Grocery pickup people, why are all my analogies about food? Pray for me. Grocery pickup, come on, I know, don't be ashamed. Hey, we should start a small group. Grocery pickup, I love it. Don't you love it when you get that text and it says, you can check in? Ooh, something happens. I can check in. Check in, you pull into that parking spot, you put your number in, and then you wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes. 15 minutes. And that sweet young person with no authority, with that beep babu beep thing on their hand comes out and they say, Miss Stevens, I'm sorry. We think we put your groceries in the back of another blue SUV. If you could just wait 30 minutes. And then they start giving you ideas. You know, you could drive around. I'm like, okay, thank you. You know, I don't want to wait 30 minutes for my groceries. The reason I did grocery pickup, come on, Neely, is so I wouldn't have to wait. I have a confession. If you hadn't already figured it out, I like food and I hate to wait. I hate to wait. Anytime a pastor does a series on the fruit of the Spirit and they're like, now go home and pray about which one of the, I'm like, I don't have to go home. when you said you were doing a sermon on the fruit of the Spirit, I already knew what time it was. I need more patience. I need more patience. Come on, none of us really like to wait. Especially when we're waiting for something that we want right now. Something that we've been praying for. Something we've been hoping for. I'm convinced that right up there with loss and sickness, waiting is one of the biggest tests and trials in the life of a modern day believer. Because we live in this on demand, right? Two-day shipping, drone dropping, smartphone having, fast-paced culture. I read a survey this week and it said that after 22 seconds, people will begin to curse at their TV if their movie doesn't stream correctly. Now, where are you at? I want to know. Oh, I got an honest. Oh, man, y'all are so honest this morning. This is going to be good. 22 seconds. I was like counting 20. I was like, oh, man, I'm worse. I mean, I'm not cursing, but I'm not happy. We want it all, and we want it now. There's a story in the Bible of a man named Job. Some of you know this story, right? We get this interesting scene in this story. The devil and God are actually having a conversation about this man. And the devil is saying, hey, the only reason he's so faithful, the only reason he's so righteous is because he has everything he needs. Hurt him, take some things away from him. Let me do some things to him, and I promise you, he won't be a man of faith after that. I'm convinced that if this scene was playing out right now today, that the devil wouldn't say, oh, hurt them or do this. He would say, just make them wait. Just make them wait. Give them a glimpse of what's possible. Let them get their hopes up, and then just make them wait. Let's see if there's still a woman of faith after that. Let's see if they're still showing up to church and serving after that. The person who wrote Proverbs 13:12, delayed hope makes one sick at heart, was telling the absolute truth, weren't they? Because when you have been waiting for a long time for something that you want so badly, it hurts. But here's another truth. If you and I are going to live a life of faith, guess what? We're going to have to get good at waiting. And not just waiting, but waiting full of hope, with anticipation, with positive expectation, with that expectant attitude that Pastor Philip has been talking about. The life of faith is a long game. Anybody figure that out? It's a lifetime journey. And during that journey, we are going to have to wait time and time again. Just like King David, who waited around 15 years to see his anointing fulfilled. Samuel anoints him as king, and then he goes through all of this stuff. Someone's trying to kill him for almost 15 years. Like a woman named Hannah we read about in 1 Samuel, who waited almost 20 years to become a mom. Like a man named Joseph, who had a prophetic dream, but had to wait 22 years for his dream to come true. Like a man named Abraham, who had to wait 25 years to see the beginning of God's promise be fulfilled. Let's read about him in Romans 4, 16 through 21. Romans 4, 16 through 21. This is the Apostle Paul writing about him. He says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, speaking of salvation, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, the Jewish people, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. That's us. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father, Abraham, in the sight of God, in whom he believed. And this is the God he believed in. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Here's our verse. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Amen. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and instead gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And somebody said, amen. Here the Apostle Paul, one of the leaders in the early church, is propping Abraham up as this man of faith and hope. He is the father of our faith. Come on, y'all know the song. Father Abraham. Yeah. Oh, come on. I like that. Be bold. That's who we're talking about, Father Abraham. But when we read the full story in Genesis, we see a lot of detours and a lot of twists and turns. At the beginning of Genesis 12, God tells Abraham to leave everything that is familiar to him and to go to a land of promise. And he pronounces this blessing over Abraham. Genesis 12, 2 through 3. God says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's a really good promise. Would you agree? 7 verses later, what happens? We see Abraham trying to fend for himself because of a famine in the land. And instead of going to the land of promise, he detours and goes to the land of Egypt. And not only that, he uses his wife as a pawn to spare his own life. Do not try this at home, okay? He lets her be taken into Pharaoh's house as a mistress. Get this. And then God has to intervene by sending plagues on the Egyptians. Thank you, Abraham. And after that, then Abraham finally fesses up. Oh, yeah, she's my wife. God promises him this, and then very quickly we see him detouring. How quickly we can lose hope in God's promises to us. We read something in our Bible, and something in our spirit says, hey, that was for me. And then we get excited about the promise. We start moving in that direction. And then almost simultaneously, a difficulty pops up in our life. If you ever had that happen, how quickly we can take things into our own hands when what God has promised doesn't immediately come to pass. Then in Genesis 15, God makes a covenant promise to Abraham. He has Abraham look up at all the stars in the sky, and he says, this is how many descendants you're going to have. And it says in verse 6 that this is when Abraham believed the Lord, and God counted his faith as righteousness, which means that because of Abraham's faith, he received right standing with God. Isn't that amazing? But then one chapter later, at the age of 85, Abraham sleeps with another woman at his wife's request. This is completely out of order. God had not promised him a son through a concubine or a servant, but a legitimate heir through the woman he was married to. After 10 years of waiting, Sarah loses hope and devises a man-made plan for a God-made promise. Oh, that's what happens when we lose hope while we're waiting. We come up with man-made plans for God-made promises. Have you ever just tried to make something happen in your own strength and made a whole mess of it? I have. But here comes God again in Genesis 17. How good is God? God promises Abraham again that a son will be born by Sarah. Abraham laughs, and he begs God to just let the son that's already been born be the heir. Now Abraham is 99, and he is just ready to settle for second best. That's what also happens when we lose hope while we're waiting. We are tempted to settle for second best. All the things we just read about in the life of Abraham and Sarah took place before the promise ever came to pass. They waited 25 years. How many of you aren't even 25 years old yet? Wave at me. Goodness. 25 years. I mean, we laughed together in the beginning about waiting in lines and drive-thrus, but it's no laughing matter when you're waiting for a broken marriage to be restored, is it? It's no laughing matter when your children that you raised in church have wandered away from the faith and you're waiting for them to come back home. It's no laughing matter when you're waiting for a family member or a friend who was lost to find salvation. It's no laughing matter when you are waiting to get out of debt, come on somebody, to be healed, to be set free, to start a family. It's no laughing matter. So how do we live full of hope while we're waiting? Let's revisit Father Abraham, because somewhere in the midst of all of this crazy, with all the detours and the twists and the turns, Paul says he decides in his heart that God would fulfill his promise. Let's look back at Romans 4, and we're going to find four things we can do to keep our hopes up while we're waiting. Number one, face the facts, but refuse to elevate them over God's promises. Face the facts, but refuse to elevate them over God's promises. Verse 19 of chapter 4 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And there's no way Sarah's supposed to be having a baby. But verse 20 says, he did not waver in unbelief about the promise of God. Hear me. Being truthful is not being faithless. Being honest is not being faithless. When you're sick and your coworker says, man, you look like you're sick. You're snotting. You said you had a fever. You've used up all the tissues in the break room. Don't say, oh, I'm blessed. Everything's fine. If they're unsaved, guess what? Now they think you're crazy. If you're sick, you're sick. If your marriage is in shambles and everybody can see that it is, don't say, hey, things are great at home. Right? We think we're being super spiritual when we say these things, but all we're doing is lying. We're living in denial. Blind people did not walk up to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, nice to see you. right? They said, I can't see. I'm sick. I'm confused. They were honest about their situation. Here's the truth. It takes faith to face your facts. Why would we need faith if all our facts were perfect? Why would we need hope if we had everything we already wanted? Face the facts. Call it what it is, but don't stop there. Let's back up to verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. He faced the facts. There was no obvious reason for hope. He was old. Sarah was old. They weren't supposed to be parents. They were supposed to be great grandparents. He faced the facts, but he did not elevate those facts over the promise of God. He held on to hope. Joyce Meyer says this, being positive doesn't mean we deny the existence of difficulty. It means we believe that God is greater than our difficulty. I rewrote it this way. Living full of hope doesn't mean we deny the facts. It just means we believe that God is greater than our facts. Pastor Philip told us last week that we need to start journaling, and my advice to you is journal like King David. If you read the Psalms, you'll see so many of these songs and these poems that he wrote. And I love it because David is always laying out the facts. I'm mad. I'm sad. People want to kill me. I want to kill people. But he doesn't stop there. He always ends with, but God, you're bigger. But God, you're stronger. But God, you're my deliverer. But God, you're my way maker. But God, I know you will come through. Psalm 27:13, David said, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Refuse to allow what you see to keep you from believing that you will see the goodness of the Lord. Face the facts. Call it what it is. But don't you dare elevate those facts over the promise of God. Number two, I like this one. Thank God for your future in your present. Thank God right now, today, for your future in your present. Romans 4:20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he did what? Gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. God promised Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed through his offspring. Abraham didn't even have a son. He had no glimpse of its fulfillment, yet he chose to give God glory in advance. Before he ever held the promise, he gave glory to God for the promise. Isaiah 46:10, this is God speaking. He says, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. The New Living Translation says this, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I love this. God sees the end from the beginning. If he says it will come to pass, it will come to pass. So you and I can praise him like it already has. When you're waiting, stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop talking about all the worst case scenarios. And if you have a friend who likes to do that, hang up on them. And instead, use your mouth to give God praise. God, I can't see it. I can't touch it. My kids are acting crazy and my dog is too, but I'm gonna take 30 seconds and praise you like everything you've ever promised me is going to happen. I believe it. You said it. Everything that you promised me will come to pass. Thank God for your future in your present. Listen to me. Don't waste your words while you're waiting. Don't waste your words while you're waiting. Do not use them to gripe. Use them to give God glory. And as you give him glory, I promise you, hope will begin to rise up on the inside. Thank God for your future right now, today, in your present. Number three, believe that God is working while you're waiting. Believe that God is working while you're waiting. Verse 17 of Romans 4, speaking of Abraham, he is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. He believed that God was the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. He believed in a God that was working behind the scenes, doing only what he could do. Isaiah 64, 4 says this. This is one of my favorite verses to meditate on. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Pastor Destiny's dad preached a sermon here once that I'll never forget. And he said something that was so simple, but so life-changing. He said, God is always doing more than we think. He's always doing more than we think. We don't understand that the God who gives dead things life and has the ability to call into being things that are not, he's doing things around us and for us that we would never dream. And if we knew it, we wouldn't understand it anyway. He's moving pieces and people into place. He is working things together for our good. I know you were tempted to devise a man-made plan for a God-made promise, but just you wait. God is working while you're waiting. Your job, my job, is to wait patiently. And this is where we need the Holy Spirit. We need to wait with a good attitude. We need to wait with kindness and gentleness and love and self-control. We need to wait actively. While you're waiting, don't stop serving. Don't stop giving. Don't stop showing up and doing what you know to do. Don't stop paying your bills or mowing your lawn or doing all the things that God has put in front of you right now today. Wait actively. Our job is to wait expectantly. With eyes wide open, looking for God in all the small things, expecting that he's going to show up, that he's going to come through at any moment. Our job is to wait openly. Pastor Philip talked about this last week. Sometimes what we are waiting for isn't what God's waiting for. Be open to him doing whatever he wants to do. You know, I love to tell this story. My husband hates it. But when we were dating, he broke up with me. We're married now. That's what he always says. But we're married now. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell the story. He broke up with me. And I'm telling you, it was only 4 months, but has anybody ever had like a month feel like a year when you're waiting for something? when you really believe that something's supposed to happen. And when he broke up with me, God did so many things behind the scenes that neither one of us had any idea about. I didn't even think we would ever get back together. But God taught me so much in that time. I thought I was waiting for a spouse, but God was waiting for me to make him the most important person in my life. You can clap for God, yeah. And when I finally came to terms with, it doesn't matter if I ever get married, God, you're everything I ever needed, then he brought it all back. Full circle. Sometimes what we're waiting for isn't what God's waiting for. We have to wait openly. Believe that God is working while you're waiting, doing only what he can do. Number four, don't focus on the outcome, but on who you will become. Don't focus on the outcome, but on who you will become. Romans 4:20, one more time. It says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith. Romans 5:3-5. Not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings. Anybody ever rejoice in sufferings? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character, hope. Huh. It all begins with suffering, and that's exactly what waiting can feel like, can it? But according to Paul, if we will refuse to give up, we build endurance. We build up our faith muscles. And then we become like Abraham, strong in our faith, people of integrity, people of character, people of resilience. When hard things happen, we won't run and hide anymore. We'll stand firm and we'll be strong on the inside. And when we see who God has made us to be, as we've walked through the storm, as we've waited patiently on him, it will give us so much hope. Because if God can produce good things in me, come on somebody, then he can do everything else that he promises. When we're tired of waiting, we think, God, leave me like I am and just give me what I want. But God is too good for that. Isaiah 40:31, familiar verse. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the ESV, it says, but they who wait for the Lord. In the NIRV, it says, but those who trust in the Lord. And the NIV says, but those who hope in the Lord. I just love the fact that that word can be translated wait, trust, or hope. Because when we're willing to wait on God, what we're saying is, God, I put all of my trust and all of my hope in you. If we will just endure. If we will just keep on waiting patiently and actively and expectantly and openly, we will become strong men and women of faith. We'll be able to look back over our shoulders and see how far God has brought us. And it will fill us with so much hope. God is working while you're waiting. He's working on your dream, he's working on the promise, and he's working on you. So go ahead and praise him in advance. Quick bonus. In your moments of faithlessness, remember that God is faithful. Right before we read about Abraham's promised son being born in Genesis 21, we read another story in Genesis 20. Abraham lets another man take Sarah to be his wife again. Come on, Abe. Bro. And God has to intervene again. Can we just stop and praise God for his intervention? How many times while you're waiting has God had to intervene in your life? As he showed up, even when you had not a stitch of faith left. Numbers 23:19 says this about God. God isn't a man that he would lie, or a human being that he would change his mind. Has he ever spoken and not done it, or promised and not fulfilled it? If receiving what God has promised us is about us being perfectly faithful or perfectly hopeful, then everybody in the Bible would have been disqualified, amen? And we would be in real big trouble. But if it's about us putting our trust in a God who is faithful, who cannot lie, then anything is possible. What God has promised you is worth the wait. Just put your hope and your trust in him. We end all of our messages with this acrostic. We call it a LEAD acrostic. And the L stands for learn. What have we learned today? We can live full of hope while we are waiting for God's promises to come to pass. We really can. The E stands for evaluate. What are we evaluating? Think about this week. Am I living like I believe that God is faithful and that he will fulfill his promises to me? Or am I busy making man-made plans for God-made promises? Have I settled for second best because I gave up on God coming through? A is for action. Two things this week. Spend time this week thanking God for the fulfillment of his promises and meditating on who you are becoming as you journey with him. And the D is for do it again. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. Clarissa, we feel so confident about this. How can you preach with so much confidence? It's because these four things, these five things, I do them all the time. There's so many promises that I'm waiting to be fulfilled. But I just keep praising God like he's already done it. I keep elevating his promises over what I can see and all the other things. And I just continue to be filled with hope. Yes, there's bad days. I'm faithless. But at the end of it, I remember that God is faithful. But not just because of my experience, but because of the experience of my father. Some of you know my dad here. He's sitting in the back. That's weird. He doesn't want me to do that. I know it felt like he was going to have to wait for an eternity to see all of his children serving God. He raised us in church as little kids. He and my mother taught us the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And all three of us went our own way. At a very young age, I decided that I was not going to serve God, but I was going to do whatever it took to fit in this world. He watched us go through heartbreak, and I know his heart broke too. He watched each one of us get arrested. He saw us make stupid decisions that put our life in danger. For almost two decades, he watched this. And yet, like Abraham, even though his children gave him no reason to hope, he dared to hope that God would bring all of his prodigals home. He sent me this week, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. He said, and I quote, I had to become pregnant with hope, faith, love, prayer, expectation, and perseverance. Hope, faith, love, prayer, and lots of it. Expectation and perseverance. You know, it was a long road. There were some hard times. But now all three of his children are serving the Lord faithfully and passionately. I think he would tell you it was worth the suffering. I think he would tell you it was worth the tears and the prayers. I think he would tell you it was worth the wait. And I know he would tell you that God is faithful and that you can trust him.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.